chapter 1, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to read the first 13 verses of this chapter. We're continuing our study in the Gospel of John, began last week, and we're looking at how Christ is revealed in the Gospel of John, and the provision of Christ, the salvation that is found in Christ. John writes in chapter 20, verse 31, he says, "But these are written, the things that are written in this book, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Many people today believe that Jesus lived. They believe that he was a good man, believe that he was a prophet. Islam teaches that Jesus is a prophet of God, but they do not believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And many people do not believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And that is makes all the difference in the world. It makes an eternal difference. And John wrote this gospel under inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. And so as we're going through the Gospel of John, we're going to be looking for things that reveal to us who this Jesus Christ is and help us to believe on him. So let's read the first 13 verses of John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I assume in your Bible, if you're using a King James Bible, you'll notice that the word "word" is capitalized. It's a name. Verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this great truth, that we who are sinners can be made the sons and daughters of God, that we can be born into God's family, that we can be cleansed of our sin. Lord, it's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing that you would love us to send your Son to die for us. And that you would save us, forgive us, pardon us, give us eternal life. Lord, we don't deserve it. We never will deserve it. But we thank you that you've given it to us. Help us to praise you for it. Help us to live in accordance to our eternal life. Help us to always become more sanctified in you, and to tell others about the great gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray that you would speak to us this morning. Work in hearts, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. People have come up with many different ways of concealing things that they wish to conceal. Many different ways of hiding something. For instance, people create a secure hiding place. It might be a tunnel. And in Israel, we hear about the war going on in Gaza, and they found many tunnels used by Hamas. People create vaults, maybe a bank vault or a safe in a home. Not only do you hide the safe and conceal its existence, but it's also a secure thing. It's hidden away to put your valuables. A remote place, maybe it's a place up in the woods, in the jungles, or up in the mountains where people hide things. Another way that people use to hide or conceal things is through the use of a disguise. Camouflage is a disguise to hide certain things. Maybe people use deception, and I think about espionage and spies, and they don't hide themselves physically necessarily, but they disguise who they are and they conceal how they behave. It's all for the purpose of hiding the things that they wish to hide. we can talk about conspiracy theories, and there are many of them out there, and every one of them says, they don't want you to know this. They don't want you to see this. But the true conspiracy theories, some of these are true, and I'm not going to give any examples, because in the end, most of the time, we don't know which ones are true, but I'm sure some of these things are true. And in those true cases, it's an example of hiding things by deception. And I've read history books about different things where a government or a leading figure or something will put out this message that is false if they're deceiving people because they're trying to conceal the truth. And the devil does that as well. Sometimes people hide things by putting them out in the open. The most visible and obvious things sometimes remain unnoticed. If you've ever read the short story by Edgar Allan Poe, The Purloined Letter, it's kind of a famous story, and it talks about hiding things by putting it out in the open. That story talks about a political, highly sensitive letter that was stolen. It was a letter containing highly sensitive information of a political nature, and it was stolen, and the authorities were trying to find where the letter was hidden before the information in it was made public. The detective, the hero detective of the story, finally found the letter, and it was hidden in plain sight. It was sitting out there. People had been by it, had seen it, had passed over it, but because it was there and not physically concealed, they didn't think anything of it. Its open and obvious position made everyone overlook it. And sometimes people will hide things in plain sight. Of course, you and I and humans can successfully hide things from each other, but nothing is hidden from God. And everything that we need to know, He does not hide those things from us. We can't hide anything from Him. And if He tried to hide something from us, we would never be able to find it. But the things that we need to know, He does not hide from us. And I'm thankful for that. We need to know the truth. We need to know Him. And we need to receive salvation. That is something that we truly need. And all of those things are revealed to us. God does not conceal them from us. God reveals them to us. Of course, if He tried to hide them from us, we would never discover them. We would never find them. Sometimes people can get distracted with end times. And by distracted, I mean give the book of Revelation more attention than it should receive from them. Sometimes people can obsess over, and that's all they think about, what's going to happen, and what does this current event mean, and who is that figure, and what does this phrase mean, and they spend all their time thinking about future events, prophetic events, and they don't spend time revealing salvation to the lost. They don't spend time in their Bible walking, learning how to walk with God. They don't spend time glorifying God. They're obsessed over end times and eschatology. And God does tell us some of these things. He does reveal some of these things to us. But sometimes we can get caught up in these puzzles and these mysteries, and God doesn't tell us some of those things because He doesn't want us to know those things. We don't need to know some of those things now, but the things that we do need to know, they are revealed. Things like salvation and how to know the Lord in our daily life, how to walk with Him. And in this text, in our text this morning in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John reveals what I've called the Gospel in plain sight. We might say something is hidden in plain sight. It's right there and it's overlooked, but the gospel doesn't have to be overlooked. It is the gospel in plain sight. Look at verse 9. We read last week's passage. Last week's text was John 1, verses 1 through 5. Today we're going to look at verses 6 through 13. But I'd like us to start in verse 9 for just a moment. It says, "That was that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And in the Sunday school hour, we talked about God's grace and how God's grace tells us some things about His character. Another thing that tells us some things about God's character is God's names. And we see a couple of different names in this passage. In verse 1, it says the Word, capitalized W, the Word. That is one of the names of God, one of the names of Christ. And it tells us something about him. We see in verse 9, it says that was that true light. And 7 and 8 also have light. It's capitalized. Jesus is the light, and he calls himself the light of the world later on in the Gospels. That was that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1, verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Life, of course, does not come from nothing. Life begets life. Darwinian evolution says that all life came from non-life, and there is nothing in creation that tells us that that sort of thing can possibly happen. Life begets life. Father, parents beget children, and kind begets like kind. Life begets life. And our mere physical existence, the fact that we have life, should tell us that life came from something, that we came from something, and we reproduce ourselves. Where did all of us get? Where did the human race come from? Where did the animals come from? All forms of life, where did they come from? They had life begets life. The whole creation proclaims the existence of the Creator. Man might deny this and lie to himself about the creation, but we all know in our heart that God exists, because it says, that was that true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light of God lights every man that comes, and he does not conceal himself. The greater the darkness, the more visible light becomes. If you've ever been outside on a dark night, maybe up in the mountains, maybe you see a campfire way off in the distance, or lights from a town. It's amazing how from many miles away, if you're on the highway, especially in North Dakota where it's flat, you can see your neighbor 50 miles away, you know. Far away off in the distance, you can see light, and it's so very obvious when it's dark out. The stars seem just brilliant when it's dark. I remember when I was in Africa, I was visiting my wife's family, and one night there in Francistown, the power went out, and so the town was dark, and we went up on the roof, and we looked up at the stars, and the stars seemed like street lights because everything else was dark. Of course, we know the stars don't seem very bright compared to these lights right now, but when it's dark, light shines much more brightly. Light is much more noticeable. And in our world is a dark place. Our world is filled with sin. It's spiritual darkness. And when there is great spiritual darkness, light stands out that much more. It is that much more obvious. And I'm thankful that God is 100% light, which stands out because sin is 100% darkness. There is no light in us naturally. There is no darkness in the Lord. 1 John 1:5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The light lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Turn to Romans chapter 1. We see in Romans another passage that supports this, that proves and confirms that this is true. And I know there are many people in the world that do not know Jesus Christ. They do not know the gospel. But it doesn't say that the light gives the gospel to every man that cometh into the world. It says the light lighteth every man that who cometh into the world. And when we receive light from God in whatever form, even so basic as knowing that there is a God, and we respond to that, and we want to know that God. And how do we know him more? There's got to be somebody out. There are many stories that I've heard of people with that attitude, and they end up coming to Christ because they're seeking God. They see a little bit of light, and they want more light. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I'm so thankful that it's revealed. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. These men who hold the truth, suppress, hold down the truth in unrighteousness. They don't want the truth. They don't want to know God. It is still revealed. God has still showed it unto them. How much more will he show those who want the truth, who want to receive it? Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The invisible things are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You and I are without excuse. All of us in the world are without excuse. God's eternal power and his deity are known. God has revealed them unto us. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I look around us in our world, in our country, and I see people that should know better claiming that God doesn't exist, claiming that morality is relative, claiming all of these wicked and ungodly things. They do know better. They've heard better. But what have they become? They become fools because they have refused the light that God's given them. God hasn't concealed himself. He hasn't hidden himself. If he were trying to hide himself, we would have no inkling of his existence. We would have no knowledge of him. But he's revealed himself. He hasn't concealed himself. Scoffers and skeptics love to prove that God doesn't exist. But if they truly believe that he doesn't exist, it's only because they've deceived themselves. They've suppressed their innate awareness of God's existence that God's given to them. God enlightens mankind with the awareness of himself. And this is the first point of the message, is that God enlightens mankind. All sinners, all humans, we all have that light. It lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God doesn't have to do that, but he does because he loves us. And knowing that God exists is that first glimmer of light in our lives that can ultimately lead us to the gospel. The gospel is hidden in plain sight. And by that I mean it's not really hidden at all. It's there for all to see, if we will see. God enlightens mankind. Everyone will be without excuse. And we can think, and people have done this, well, what about such and such a tribe and such a jungle on the continent of South America? You know, they've never had a preacher of Christ come to them. Yeah, but that's true. They've never heard the gospel of Jesus. But that's true. And I can't explain, it's not my job to explain that anyway. I'm not the judge. I'm not going to be holding them accountable. But the Bible says that all men are without excuse. And I think that God, if there are some of those people that say, there has to be a God out there. I look around me. I see the creation. I want to know this God. God will give them more light. God gives them more. God helps them to understand. Those who seek them, those who seek God will find him, the Bible says. God has lighted every man that cometh into the world. That was that true light, John 1:9, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God enlightens mankind. But in John chapter 1, we read that God doesn't just light mankind, doesn't just make us aware of his existence. He tells sinners what's going on. He tells us the truth. John 1:6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I'm thankful that God didn't just stop in verse 9 and say, well, everyone knows that I exist and that's all I'm going to tell them. He sent a man, in this case, sent a man from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Who is that light? Well, it's capitalized, talking about Jesus Christ. To bear witness of Christ, that all men through him might believe. He, John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. If God wanted to hide the gospel from sinners, he wouldn't send preachers. But he has sent preachers. Still, sinful man comes up with reasons to reject God's preachers and God himself. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. The gospel is not hidden. It's here in plain sight, and I'm so thankful that God reveals it to us. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world, but he also sends preachers, because he wants sinners to know the message of the gospel. Matthew chapter 3, talking about John the Baptist. This is the man who was sent from God to bear witness of the light. Matthew 3, 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him. I think it's interesting that John was in the wilderness. Why was he in the wilderness? Well, probably many reasons, but maybe one of them was because if you wanted to hear John, you had to make an effort. You had to leave the city. You had to go to the wilderness. And God wants us to make an effort to know him. God wants us to respond. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world, and we don't make that happen. God does that voluntarily, but we do have to respond. We do have to show that this interests us, that we want it, that we're willing to change our plans a little bit to have more of it. And for people to hear hear John the Baptist preach, they had to leave their town, their home, and go to the wilderness to hear him, and many did. John was a burning and a shining light. God shines the light in the darkness. John 5, verse 33 and 35, it says, Jesus is speaking, he says, He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He, John, was a burning and a shining light. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. God is not concealing the truth. God is not hiding the gospel. And Christians shouldn't either. Sometimes we want to blend into the woodwork. We don't want to step out and speak for Christ. We don't want to say something to somebody that they might not be happy to hear. And there's a difference, of course, between being offensive with how we present the gospel and saying to somebody something that they're not necessarily favorable to. We know that they trust in themselves, and so they're probably not going to like it if I tell them the truth, and so I just won't say it. That's different from saying, you know, I'm going to go and be offensive and force people to believe what I think they should believe. We should not be offensive, but we should not hide the truth. John was a burning and a shining light, and I'm so thankful that God did not hide the truth from me. I'm so thankful that he makes it available to us. He sends preachers like he sent John. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We need God to reveal the truth to us. If God left us alone, we would be impossibly tangled in error and in lies. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. How tragic. Israel, God's chosen people, who had the law, they still have the law. That these people Paul is talking about, they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. This ignorance was not because God hadn't revealed the truth to them. This ignorance was because of their unbelief. God had revealed the truth. God had sent many prophets, and these people had all of that information, but they had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They were going about to establish their own righteousness. Look at verse 8 of chapter 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's still being preached. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's very simple. It's a free gift of salvation. It's not complicated. You don't have to work for it. This is what it is. Verse 10, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And that's all you need. You need a heart to believe, and you need a mouth to confess. You need a mind to trust God. That's it. All of us have that. You don't have to have great works. You don't have to have great finance, great material possessions to be saved. You just need a functioning mind and the choice to believe God. Verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They need to hear, and so God sent a preacher. He sends preachers. He sends his word. He gives his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you struggling with faith? You might be, as a Christian, struggling to trust God in your life. As a lost person, struggling to trust God to save you. This is the answer. Fill your mind with the word of God. Fill your heart. Saturate your life with the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God wants people to hear his word, and so he sends preachers. God wants people to know his word, so he gave us his word. He's not hiding the gospel, it's in plain sight. God sent John the Baptist, as we saw in John chapter 1. He was a burning and a shining light, and all people who know Christ and speak the truth and witness, they are lights in this dark world. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. Manifestation, making it visible, making it apparent. Manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We might say it's hid. I thought that we were talking about being revealed. Their minds are blinded. Why is it that way? Because they do not believe. It says right here, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You can darken your own heart. You can blind yourself. You can make the truth hidden to yourself by refusing to believe it, by hearing it and pushing it away. It's possible to do that. But it's not God's fault, because he reveals it to us. And I would say to you, you're hearing the truth today. You've probably heard it before. Have you believed it? God tells sinners what we need to hear. He sends preachers. He gave us his word. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He tells us what we need to know. He doesn't hide it. Do we believe it? Do we accept it? Not only does God illuminate mankind, not only does God tell sinners, but we see in John chapter 1 that God illuminates seekers. He gives further light to those who seek it. Let me read again, starting in verse 6. There was a man sent from God, John 1:6, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, to tell others about the light, that all men through him might believe through Christ. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. How tragic! And this is the example of unbelievers. Christ came to the people he created. John 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, he created the world. Christ is the creator, and he came to this world that he created. He came to the sinners that he created, and they knew him not. They received him not. How could this happen? Because they did not believe in him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The ones that believe, the ones that accept the light, the ones that accept the truth and say, I want more. Tell me more. There's more I need to know. This is the start of it, but I need to know more. God illuminates the seekers. Every person, every man, every human that comes into the world receives some light. We've talked about that. And some people want more light. Some people seem to want as much darkness as they can get. They want as little truth as possible, it seems. But those who want more light seek it. And God knows the seekers. He illuminates them to the point of understanding the truth fully. Children are a good example of this. And we desire to teach our children the truth and to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to teach them what the Bible says. But they have to decide in their own heart, as they develop mentally and begin to understand these truths, they have to decide if they're going to believe it or not. I can't make them believe it. I can tell them that it's true. I can live out the truth and show them how it can change a person's life. But they have to decide whether or not they're going to believe it. God has given them light, not only because they're simply born into the world, but because they're in a home where the Bible is taught. God gives them much light, but they have to desire it. They have to seek it themselves. And the more that we seek the truth, the more God helps us to understand it. Missionaries, when they go to a foreign field, or anyone really, go to start a church, they're going to a new area, there's no church, maybe the gospel isn't even preached there. They're looking for people want light, who want the truth, who are receptive to it. They're looking for seekers. And the seekers don't really know how to find what they're looking for. They don't know where to find it. But God sends them to preachers. God sends preachers. God sends believers who have the truth. God sends the truth their way. He finds a way for them to have the truth. And the seekers say, this is what I've been looking for. The Holy Spirit of God helps them to know, are you a seeker? God sends us truth, and the seekers he illuminates even further, because it's the seekers who accept the truth, who believe the truth. John 1:12, but as many as received him, as many. Not a certain quota. God's looking for a certain quota, and as soon as it's filled up, no more. As many. It doesn't matter how few or how many. Anyone that receives him receive that power to become the sons of God. Every person receives some light. Some people want more light. And God illuminates those people to the point of understanding the truth fully. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. God is still being found by those who are searching with all their heart. God doesn't make us search because he's hiding. He wants us to want the truth. He doesn't force us to believe the truth. Look at John chapter 3. Jesus is speaking to a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. His name is Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a seeker. Nicodemus was looking for the truth. That's why he came to Jesus. And Jesus was giving him the truth. Jesus was preaching a message to him. And I think when Jesus preaches a message to you, it doesn't get any better than that. John 3:14, Jesus says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's lifted up, he's not concealed, he's not hidden. He's lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's a whosoever gospel. Everyone that believes may be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This is why people don't come to the light. This is why people don't respond to the light, because they don't want it to point out their sin. They like their sin. They want to keep their darkness. They don't want to be illuminated. They don't want it. They want to stay away from it. God lighteth every man that cometh into the world, but not every man cometh to the light. Most people do not come to the light. Look at Acts chapter 8, an example of a man of God illuminating the life of a man, and this man began seeking God. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And this should encourage us. Are you seeking the truth today? Some people are. Some people say, I want to know God. I want to know the truth. I want to have the truth. If that is truly the desire of your heart, you can be rest assured that God will show it to you. God will illuminate your life, as he did this man from Ethiopia. Acts 8, 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. This man was a seeker. He knew a little bit about God. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship. He believed that God was in Israel, that God could be worshipped, that God could be known, that God could be found. And he was seeking, but he didn't know. He's reading the book of Isaiah, and he's trying. He's seeking God, but he didn't know. And the Lord sent him a preacher, sent Philip. And Philip said, Do you understand what you're reading? He said, How can I, except some man should guide me? Would you teach me? This is the attitude of the seeker. I need to know, but I don't know. I want to know. Somebody teach me. It takes humility to say that. When we think we know, we don't want anyone to teach us. Because you're probably going to tell me something that I don't agree with, and now, you know, it doesn't make me feel good. You're probably going to tell me I'm wrong, and I don't want to think that I'm wrong. I already know it's right. I don't need anyone to teach me. That's a prideful spirit. That's not being teachable. This man said, Somebody please teach me. I'm seeking the truth, and I know I don't know it. I want to know it. In Acts chapter 10, we read of a man named Cornelius who was a devout man. He feared God with all his house, and he prayed to God always. Sounds like a religious man, saved man, but he wasn't saved. And so God sent him a preacher. An angel came and said, Send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Cornelius was a seeker. He wanted to know God, and God sent him light. Are you a seeker? God illuminates seekers. Do you want to know the truth of God? You first have to decide if you're willing to give up what you think you know already. You might know the truth, but you might be believing a lie. Are you willing for God to show you if it's truth or a lie? Are you willing for God to correct you and change your heart and give you knowledge of the truth? God has given us all light and knowledge of himself. We know that he exists. Have you accepted that and believed it? Do you desire more? Are you seeking to know him? Well, a lot of times we think we're pretty good, and we just need a little bit more of God, and then we'll be fine. We'll be okay. I'm mostly there. I just need a little bit more from the Lord, and then I'll be fine. That's not the attitude God's looking for. God's looking for those who say, I just need to know whatever God asks of me. It's not too much. I'll do whatever I need to do. I'll do whatever God wants me to do. I'll give him my life. I'll give him my heart. I'll believe anything he wants me to believe. I just need to know him. I just need to find him. That's the kind of attitude God's looking for. Have you ever had that attitude? Have you ever been saved? When you accept and believe the little bit of light that he has already given you, he will give you more and more and the ability to understand it. This leads to salvation, and far beyond salvation, into the wonderful life of knowing and serving him. The process does not change. I'm reminded very often that even though I've been saved for 30 years, there is much that I do not know. And there are many things that I think I know, but I'm wrong. And if I'm lifted up in pride and I say, I already got it settled, I'm good to go. I'm going to stop learning. I'm going to stop growing. I need to be humble. I need to be willing for God to teach me, for God to illuminate me, for God to help me to learn and grow. I need to seek him, and he will reveal truth to me. The gospel is not hidden. I'm so thankful for that. It is in plain sight. God illuminates all mankind. God tells sinners. He sends preachers to tell sinners about the gospel. And those who are seekers, God illuminates seekers. Finally, in John chapter 1, let's turn back there, we see that God saves believers. God saves believers. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the authority to become the sons of God, the permission, really, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, there are certifications. I earned an associate's degree many years ago, an associate's degree in computer networking, and I qualified for basically the lowest level of computer certification. I had to earn that. I had to study. I had to take a test. I had to pass the test. And then I earned the certification. And people can approach salvation that way. If I work really hard and I learn the truth and I put it to work in my life and I stay faithful to it, I will earn salvation. I will be righteous enough, and God can respect that. God can accept that from me. But this says, which were born, those who were sons of God, they were born not of blood. It's not a physical birth that we're talking about. Now, nor of the will of the flesh, not just because sinners want to, that it happens. I'm going to be saved today. There's more to it than that. Nor of the will of man. I can't save you. They're born of God. God is the one who brings you into his family. It's not something you earn. It's not something we just decide we're going to do. We're born of God. He is the one that we depend on. It is not our power, it is of God's power. May we never forget that we sinners are guilty. Guilty. We deserve judgment. And God is holy. We don't deserve anything good from him. I was recently with a group of men, and one of them was lost men, I believe. One of them was talking about something that happened to him many years. I think he's 70 or 80, something like that, of age. He was talking about an experience that he had many years ago. He was working on a trailer, and I think the trailer, from what I understand the story, the trailer was packed high, stacked high with hay bales. He's on top of the hay bales, about 13 feet or so off the ground. He was working up there, and I didn't catch all the details, but something happened where he went flying off the trailer onto the 13 feet up, didn't expect to fall, wasn't ready for it, wasn't jumping or anything. He went flying off, and I don't remember if he sustained injuries at all, but it could have been deadly. It could have been very harmful to him, and he escaped all of that. Of course, he didn't die. He didn't have serious injuries. He escaped that, and his thought at the time was, well, I must have done something good. God spared me. I must have done something good. He said that. When I heard it recently, the story, I must have done something good, and my response was, no, we serve a good God. We have a good God. Wow, God bless me, I must have done something right. No, we serve a good God. We didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it. God gives it to us. He is good. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, separated from God, impossibly separated according to our own abilities, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." That's the devil. We, in our natural lives, we walk according to the devil's ways. We do not walk according to God's ways. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom, those children of disobedience, among whom we also, we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Paul is writing to a church in Ephesus saying, this is how we all were. We're not anymore, but remember the way we used to be. We walked according to the course of this world, the natural course. What is it? One day this world is going to burn up. God's going to judge all sin. And that's the path that everyone's on. And that's the way we live. We walked according to that way. We were separated from God. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We lived in the lusts of our flesh. There is nothing redeemable about that. There's nothing commendable about that or good about that. This is how we are. It's not something good that we've done. Ephesians 2 goes on, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us," or made us alive, "together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We still don't deserve it. I've been saved for 30 years, and I don't deserve salvation any more than I did the day I got saved. It's because of the goodness of God, because of his mercy. God enlightens our life. Every man that comes into the world has been given light, some light from God. Have we received it? Have we wanted more? Have we sought more? He proclaims the truth for us. Not only are we aware of his existence, but he gives preachers who proclaim the gospel so that we can know more than just God exists. We can know that Christ came to die for us. He enlightens our understanding because the spiritual truths are really beyond us. 1 John 5:7 says that God is a three-part being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. I don't understand that. And that's not something that God makes us understand in this life. Maybe we'll understand it in heaven one day. It's beyond our comprehension. But if God didn't explain some of these other truths to us that we can understand, we never would. There are things the natural man receiveth not the things that be of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They are spiritually discerned. If it weren't for God helping us to understand his truth, we wouldn't understand any of it. But he enlightens our understanding, and he gives us power to become the sons of God. Turn back to Acts chapter 8. We just read in there about the Ethiopian eunuch. He was seeking God, and he was reading the scriptures. And Philip asked him, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I? It's impossible. I need someone to guide me. Would you help me?" God sent Philip to this man. And this man understood. Look at verse 36. Well, verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture in Isaiah, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" Why is he talking about baptism? Well, because Philip had taught him about it all, apparently. Philip taught him Christ. Philip taught him probably the baptism of John, and John was baptizing unto repentance. And the eunuch says, "Can I get baptized?" Philip didn't say, "Yes, baptism saves." Some people believe that baptism saves a person. Philip said something else in verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Again, I read this verse earlier, but John 20:31 says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Again, baptism cannot save a person. It doesn't say, being baptized, you might have life. It says, believing, you might have life. Salvation happens. Baptism is for those who are already saved. And Philip indicates this. The eunuch says, what's to keep me from being baptized? Philip says, you need to be saved first. And this is how you're saved. Verse 38, or verse 37, it says, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He didn't understand before. He was seeking. He was reading Scripture. How can I understand this except some man should guide me? And Philip did. And then God enlightened this man's understanding. In Acts chapter 10, in the first part of the chapter, we read about Cornelius seeking God. The angel told him to send for Peter. And Cornelius did. And Peter came and preached to him. And he's preaching Christ in the latter part of the chapter. And in verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And he goes on to preach Christ to this group. In verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And then Peter says, these people have been saved. The Holy Spirit came on them. He only does that when someone's saved. They should get baptized. They didn't understand. Cornelius was a devout man, a just man. Humanly speaking, he revered God. He prayed to God, but he didn't know God. He was seeking God. God sent him a preacher. And then he got saved. Cornelius' seeking and ready faith to accept God's truth resulted in him becoming a child of God. God's not hiding the truth from us. He's not playing games with us. He's not forsaken us or forgotten us. He's not cruel to us. He sees us in our cursed, sinful state, and he has pity on us. He gives all of us some light. And we get to choose how we respond to that. And all of us here have that choice. I have that choice. I've been saved for 30 years. But every day, I have the choice on how I'm going to respond to this light. I have the choice on whether or not I'm going to give that light to others, tell others about the gospel, tell others how they can know the Lord. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not every person who lives in the world hears a gospel preacher. But every person is able to choose how they will respond to the light that God has given them. God gives more light to the seekers. He is reaching out to you right now. Will you seek it? Will you receive it? Will you seek after more? How will you respond? Will you listen? The gospel is not hidden. It is in plain sight. Will you come to the light of the world, to Jesus Christ? As I mentioned, Jesus says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And those who have been saved need to seek the lost as well. I was talking with a man yesterday, and he was relating how he is not as much of a seeker of souls as he wants to be, as he knows he should be. And I am that way as well. I need to seek souls more, and you probably do too. As Christians, we need to seek the lost, to point them to the Savior. We can be a light in their lives. You might say, well, I'm not much. You know, I still fail, and I'm not as good a Christian as I know I should be, as I want to be. I don't know as much of the Bible as I want to. But in a dark world, even a small light shines. Even a dim light is visible. We can be that light to those in darkness. We can be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we look for seekers? Do we proclaim the truth and seek the lost? Are we, like our Savior, not willing that any should perish? May we emulate our merciful and long-suffering Savior. He's not hiding the truth. He has lighted every man that cometh into the world. He gives us truth. We need to accept it and look for more, accept more, seek more light. And we need to seek others with that truth. We see this character of God, this characteristic, these traits of God revealed in the book of John. May it challenge us and change our lives as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you.